This is Margaret Arjous, and I'd like to welcome you to Suki Yam. A series of programs about our well-being, wherein we examine methods which will enable us to obtain a harmonious state of mind, body, and spirit, with the collaboration of holistic practitioner and psychotherapist, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva. Hello to all you listeners out there, and we are very sad to say that this is our last program in the series Suki Yam. Let us say for the time being, as we might pick up the series in the future. And incidentally, today we are going to talk about sadness and depression. And I would like to welcome to the program a woman who has been precisely the backbone, a great source of information, a great woman, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva.
Oh, thank you, Margaret, for your pricing. It's unexpected. I'm just sharing my experience and knowledge, and I'm happy to feel the resonance from Maltese public, and I'm receiving a lot of emails and talking to people on the telephone. So thank you for the opportunities, and thank you to this loving auditorium.
Yes, and a great welcome to Fiona Lindley, who teams up beautifully with Lydia to form a formidable team. Hello, Fiona, and welcome.
Hello, Margaret. Good to be here.
Yes, I can see a big smile on Fiona's face. In fact, to be quite honest, you know, I have to be honest about this. We were having a laugh before we started the program, weren't we? And we said, how can we calm down, you know, and do this program seriously? We're already calm, ready to start.
Today's program is quite serious. And
it's true.
Because the condition of depression is leading us into the actions sometime. And these actions are life change or death change experience.
Exactly. We are going to take this subject seriously because we know how common the problem of sadness and depression is. Now, sadness is a normal human emotion. You see, we experience it when we experience something unpleasant in life, a loss, a disappointment. Sadness may reduce our ability to enjoy life, and it doesn't destroy it altogether. Depression might. Now, what is the difference between sadness and depression?
Sadness is, as you say, a normal emotion that all of us experience at some time or other, generally around loss of some kind, and there are various kinds of losses. Depression is a different beast altogether, if you like. Sadness tends to be transitory. We tend to touch it and touch out of it. We tend to find relief through expressing a few tears around the issue that we're sad about, for example, and those tears tend to bring us relief, and it makes it possible for the sadness to be integrated into our lives and we carry on. With depression, that's not the case. There are many symptoms of depression. Some could be biochemical, so it could be something happening in the brain, in the brain chemistry. It could be an event in life that has caused a depression, for example, a sudden death or a sudden trauma or leaving a country or becoming a refugee, losing a job. Any of these situations can create depression. And it's most notable in its lasting length. So it lasts generally for a few months. There are a lot of changes that go on in the body too. So, for example, it's very normal for somebody's body weight to change to, you know, within 5% either increase or decrease, because the appetite tends to either increase or decrease. The capacity to sleep either increases or decreases. Somebody tends to feel numb. They tend to feel disconnected, that they don't know what they're feeling, but they just don't feel particularly anything. They feel difficulties around engaging with life, maybe carrying on with their hobbies. And, you know, in some cases it can get very serious and, you know, can sadly lead people to a sense of really deep hopelessness around their being in life. And sadly then can go to the next step, which can be suicide. So it's a different beast altogether from sadness.
I also want to say about this quite common condition, sadness and depression, because sadness, as Fiona said, it's a normal emotion, usually as a reaction towards something, or as a quality of a character, like we can count Friedrich Chopin with his melancholia is a bit sad or depressive. But
it used to be very fashionable, eh? Melancholia.
Exactly.
To be melancholic.
Exactly. So it's a sort of even a style of attitude towards many points, many life events, many life issues to be melancholical, to have this slightly cynical reaction towards situations. The difference is depression mostly is a clinical condition, so depression needs help. Unfortunately, there is a lot of misdiagnostics between sadness and depression. And depressions also have different causes. As Fiona said, it's connected to the tissues of the brain, biochemistry of the brain, the level of neurotransmitters. It can be deficiency of melatonin, serotonin, so the tryptophan, the neurotransmitters. It also can be reactive towards the situation or the loss. But it also can be organic, so when people have a traumatic injury of the brain or depression in a frame of a serious psychiatric state as a schizophrenia or depressive maniac condition. So the causes are different. The question is how to find where we are and how to deal with this correctly, because sometimes people counted their mood state as a depression. In my practice of 25 years in the field of psychotherapy and spiritual psychology, I saw many different cases in very serious state of depression in psychiatric wards, and also quite playful state of mind when people was counted as a depression. Because in some cases, depression is the way to sabotage life. Instead of changing themselves, changing the situation, changing the attitude, just to sabotage unconsciously, of course, it's happening all unconsciously, or consciously. And in some way, depression is a choice in this condition. So we need to change ourselves from time to time, especially if some attitude is not working in life. So we need to realize something and to change our ambitions, to correct our expectations, and to say goodbye to some ideas and standards of life. Instead, we are stubbornly trying to get what we want. It's a bit immature reaction, and in many cases, depression is a very immature reaction. In the other cases, depression is a result of deficiency of neurotransmitters. And in this condition, people need help. They can receive this help from the proper food. I can tell the raw food. This is why now a lot of excitement about the raw food. People who are supporting themselves with the raw food, they have more chances to come out of depression, because the substances they're receiving from the raw food, the level of alkalization of the body is quite high, and it stimulates the production of your neurotransmitters. The food which is cooked and full of simple carbohydrate will reduce the production of neurotransmitters. So it's hopeless to go into the antidepressant without food regulation, because we can simply make ourselves dependent without any need.
How very, very, very interesting. I mean, who would ever link, you know, raw food and curing depression?
Hippocrates did. A few thousand years ago when he was around, yeah, but he literally said, let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food.
That's true. Now, sadness may usher in negative thoughts, but it does not propel a person into a place of suicidal ideation. How are suicide and depression connected?
They're not always connected. The question of suicide can be quite a multi-layered question, really. So not everybody who's depressed ends up committing suicide. Not everybody who's depressed has even suicidal thoughts. And even people who have suicidal thoughts don't end up necessarily committing suicide. I think it's just clear that we say that, first of all. Where people who are suffering from depression tend to end up taking their lives can be found in a correlation between their sense of hopelessness and suicide. For example, there is actually such a thing called a Beck hopelessness scale, and
when somebody is questioned by a therapist in terms of where they are. So, for example, when I used to work for Childline, which is a helpline for children and young people, we had a very standard format to see if the child had a plan in terms of taking their life. Did they know how it was going to carry out? Because all these factors tend to show whether it's actually just a cry for help. If someone's saying, look, you know, I'm really not coping, I really want to take my life, there's no point in me living anymore, and how real is it? Because the flip side is also somebody who is about to take their life can actually appear very settled and relaxed just before they do so. So it's actually a very hard thing to really get right. Suicide can be for a number of reasons. As I say, hopelessness tends to figure in it somewhere. It can also be back into relationship really with the birth process and even how we grow and the energetic environment that we were growing in as little babies inside our mother's bellies, because the development of the brain correlates with each trimester of pregnancy. So the sensitive brain period of development as far as the emotional health and the psychological health goes is the mid-trimester. All right, so months 3 to 6. If the mother is feeling happy, supported, cherished, loved, all of that, she is sending those messages through the placenta to the baby while it's developing that part of its brain to say, life is safe. Life's really a lovely place to be. You're going to love it. If, however, she's not feeling cherished, supported, if she's got her own fears that she doesn't feel safe to speak about, then it breeds a different concoction in the fluids that the baby then is also receiving as it's growing its brain in this period of time. So it can really be something that develops very, very, very early on in our development, really. It's very difficult to pin down and say there's one reason. For example, there are children who are committing suicide age 6, 7, but it's being named
really?
As...
I've
yeah.
never heard of cases like that.
Yeah, but the way that they do it is they do it through drowning, or they do it through an accident, and it's not called suicide because it looks like uh-huh. it's something else. But they actually just in their spirit, in their soul, they just don't want to live anymore, or they've done what they needed to do in this life and they need to get out to reframe things for their soul. So it's important that we kind of lift the veil of shame that tends to be around suicide. I notice in Malta a lot that seems to exist, and I think also from, you know, my experience of working with young people and elders with it, it tends to be a very shameful
yes.
thing.
There's a stigma associated
yeah.
with it.
There is, isn't
which
there?
Which is really bad, you know.
It's sad, actually, and it doesn't
yes.
help. It doesn't
true.
Help anything.
I would love to speak about suicide as the deepest point of depression in the context of spiritual attitude. It's like we're neglecting life and its phenomenon. The reasons of that can be many. Life circumstances are always bringing difficult situations where people feel rejected. And I was working with the prisoners one time and the victims of a crime, and I realized many people who have been rejected from their childhood, they have a very low self-esteem. They feel they're not worth it. So one moment, one period of life, they're passing through unlucky circumstances of life, and they feel life is rejected them, so they rejected themselves. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, all people who are socially rejected should be treated, because to go into the crime behavior, there is a reason. It is a matrix of the mind frame. And this matrix should be treated, should be rediscovered and rewritten.
What do you mean by matrix?
It's a mind frame. It's a sort of behavior. For example, as Sven mentioned, some chemicals, if mother using some medicine, or her relationship with the father in the pregnant period was not so happy, or she feel unsupported, or she feel poor, or the food was very poor with the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So the baby is not receiving enough nutrients.
From the mother. Yes.
Not only the mother, but also the environment. The baby do not understand it is a mother or it is a father or universe. Mm-hmm. But the feelings of the world around mm-hmm. is imprinting in the perceptions when the baby becoming to be an adult.
Yes, in fact, many children ask their parents, was I adopted? Maybe it is coming from
true,
that.
True. Sometimes we have like a situation with the unwanted children and this imprint of being unwanted child or maybe a child who want to be aborted and then coincidentally survive and was born. But this pattern of being unwanted is staying in the mind. And I was working with hundreds of people who just discovered they have loving parents later on in their life. But the beginning of their existence imprinted in their mind, like, I am not wanted by my parents.
And sometimes maybe the child comes, I don't know, either at a funny time in the couple's life, or maybe this child suddenly has a brother or a sister, and so he's put aside, you know?
Yes, yes.
And like, you're the older one, you have to behave, you have to set the example.
Definitely. It can be many circumstances.
It can be so subtle.
Yes. And it's not a question of who is guilty in these situations, because the reaction towards this can be different. But the question is, these people can be easily healed and to feel their importantness, their uniqueness in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Just by services of psychotherapy or psychologist or need real professional help. The other type of depression is postnatal depression, and this is most of the time the result of a hormone boost, because the brain of a woman who is pregnant and then giving birth have a big, big hormone storm. And this hormone storm changing woman's brain forever. So when a man married a woman, men have to prepare themselves. After the birth giving, it will be absolutely different woman.
Exactly.
And the relationship.
That's why the honeymoon is so important.
Yes.
You've got to have some good thing somewhere.
Yes. And another type of depression, like, it's not only postnatal depression for women, but also postnatal depression of a man. They feel rejected, being rejected.
Sure.
To be the center of a relationship, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. they put aside by their wives because all the attention is around the baby. So we need to understand what is this. These women can be supported by just orthomolecular psychotherapy and psychiatry based on natural mineral supplements which stimulate the production of tryptophan, the neurotransmitters, also balances the function of the endocrine system. Also, I would love to speak about the depression as a mood swing. Many women know about this condition during the pre-menstrual days. So they already feel their mood is really low and as a result were depressed or slightly aggressive. And it can be regulated by food. I will suggest to have a moon diet, liquid diet in these days. So your mood will be slightly up, will be good to have raw smoothies, juices, raw soups. Better to have a very light raw food. If it's needed really, sometimes very supportive, 5-HTP. So just to keep it in your collection at home for the special days.
Incredible what food can do, huh?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, many medical professionals are quick to prescribe antidepressants and other selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors when patients complain of depression. I guess that there are a lot of side effects.
Yes, there are. They're not all bad, and sometimes it's actually necessary to give medication for a short period of time. As a complementary health therapist, I very much believe in being complementary with all aspects of medicine.
So for a short period of time, for example, I have worked with people with depression and they've been given SSRIs or antidepressants, is a particular form of antidepressants, for 6 weeks. And actually it's just been enough to re-regulate the chemical aspect of the depression. What I notice as a body therapist, if somebody stays on the medication for too much longer, that it actually becomes very difficult to access the pain in the first place because everything just becomes suppressed. We could say that depression is literally a depress of the life force, right? Life is literally depressed. So actually what we have to find a way to do is to unpress the depression, so to liberate the life energy back again. Now that becomes very difficult with somebody who's been on long-term antidepressants because they just are quite flat in their physical energies, their mental energies, their emotional and spiritual energies.
And I would to add about hyperdiagnosis, because to start the treatment towards depression, definitely need to try natural methods before the prescription of chemical medicine will be the antidepressant. Sadly, I discovered a couple of years ago, it was an official statistic in Malta, 15% of Maltese population, included all the ages, are officially under the treatment of antidepressants. And I found hyperdiagnosis, because we are responsible for our life. So I will suggest people not to be so quick and not to try to suppress their real feelings, their natural reaction, just because it's uncomfortable. So do not make yourself numb. And the antidepressant makes you also dependent. So to stop antidepressants are very difficult, and it have a hepatotoxic and renal toxicity, liver toxicity. It, of course, affects the tissue of your body. So be very precise. And being a clinical psychiatrist in the beginning of my medical career, I saw a lot of cases where the condition of people can be treated in a natural way. But unfortunately, it was a time when the natural medicine, holistic medicine, and the conventional medicine did not bridge with each other. So we were losing the patients just because there was no solidarity. So I see the big potential for the benefit of our patients, for the benefit of people, to be in solidarity in treatment.
I don't know, but lots of women, you know, of my generation are taking these antidepressants, and when you talk to them, they tell you that the doctor has to increase the medication every time they go and visit him. Mm-hmm. So it's like that they're caught up in this web, you know, where there's no escape.
Well, it is the attitude of the past centuries, because it was the time where the services of psychotherapy, psychology wasn't there.
And also the body is always on somebody's side. The psyche is always on somebody's side. So why the dose is having to be increased is because actually what the body will try and do when it's suppressed is break the suppression. So what it does is it creates heat, it creates an intensity in a different way, which then feels unsafe again. But if people were met in that and allowed to express it, it would allow that breaking to occur in a safe way.
Mm-hmm. Now, any suggestions of how to end this series on a positive note? How can we attain this emotional balance in our lives?
I suggest to prize, to cherish your each emotion, because whatever you feel, this is your feelings. And make the place for them, make the room for your feelings, real feelings, to be the real you. Because living the false life, we're trying to be happy when we're unhappy. We're going into the depression when we can deal with something. So we're losing ourselves, our identity. And together with that, we're losing our life, the force of being here. And life is very short.
There are many ways to do that. One is through actually something very simple that's free, that is a gift we've all been given just by being human, and that's to breathe. If we all breathe deeply and fully, really, as much as our lung capacity has been given to us, that would aid the fluidity of energies in the body. So it would aid the feeling of being alive. Meditation is another way. Being careful to surround ourselves with people and with environments that cherish us. So making time to be outside, making time to be with the earth, making time to cook with friends and laugh with friends, making time to honour the whole of our lives, not just our working life, and making sure that we don't label ourselves by just what we do. Who we are is more important.
As a safety jacket, I want to remind the technique what we start from, Margaret, with the meditation, just simply using the number in your mind.
Yes.
From 1 to 9, just choose the number, even if you do not know how to meditate, just repeat this number in your mind and feel connected. You will attune yourself into the synchronicity and harmony. Also, do not take life as a drama. So yes. Make it more comical and laugh about yourself. I found that more people are very master about it. Even the drama have some, many people have a comical aspect because people have a healthy attitude towards their own dramas. So it's the level of healthy nation for me.
We should laugh at ourselves.
Yes, definitely.
That's true. And on this very positive note, I would like to give some advice to Dr. Lydia. She has been passing a lot of advice to us. Now I'm going to give her some advice to put all that information of all those programs we have done together in a book so that our listeners can refer to it as they go along in life and come across various ailments. And, of course, I wish you a lot of success in your medical career.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you to all the listeners. I hope the opportunity will be there.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lydia. Fiona, you are also very busy with your patients here in Malta, and I also wish you a lot of success.
Thank you, Margaret.
I would love to celebrate the work of our sound engineer, Samuel, for his great support and for his patience. And I also would love to thank the director of the radio station.
Dr. Joe Borch.
Dr. Joe Borch and all the assistants who were supporting this program.
Exactly. You said it all, Lydia. You said it all. I was about to thank them all. They are fantastic.
And also I want to thank you, Margaret. If it weren't for you, this program wouldn't exist.
It was a pleasure, Lydia. And on behalf of our listeners, I can tell you that we really need people like you who are offering alternative natural solutions to medicine. Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you, of our listeners out there. I just hope that you found our programs equally exciting as well as beneficial. Thanks to all the staff on Camps FM. Thanks, Samuel, for all your patience. This is Margaret Arjus, who would like to leave you with this thought. It is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves.